listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, this show is indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, school choice. One of my favorite topics, because school choice, President Trump alone recently said that school choice is the civil rights issue of our times. All right, it's something that basically it's a philosophical question. Do you or do you not believe that a parent or legal guardian should have more say in their child's education than that which the system itself does? Do you believe that a zip code is what should determine where your child goes to school, or should it be the parent deciding that? All said and done, Alabama has been somewhat limited on options for school choice, despite the fact that we have a very red state. We're a Republican-led state, and yet we can't seem to quite get some of the measures passed. Well, one of the ones we did pass back in 2013 while I was a state senator, I was proud to be there that night. It's called the Alabama Accountability Act. It allows for, we call them scholarships basically, but tax donations given in and then scholarship granting organizations allowed to give out scholarships for kids to go to better schools than they could have gone to if they were confined just to their zip code. All that to say, these SGOs or scholarship granting organizations do an amazing job of pushing school choice forward in Alabama, one of which is an organization called Scholarships for Kids. And their executive director is a friend of mine, Stephen Bridgers, who is now on the phone with us. So, hey, Stephen Bridgers, how you doing, man? Thanks for being on Right Side Radio.
I'm good, Phil. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you've been at SFK now for what, about a year and a half, 2 years? How long has it been?
Yeah, that's right. I started last September, and it's been it's quite a time to change your career, but it's been yeah. Great, and I feel very blessed to be there.
Well, and yeah, and here I am doing a new radio show, go figure. But but all that to say, school choice, you've been in the fight for school choice, though, for a lot longer than just that year and a half, 2 years. Talk to me about your thoughts on school choice as a general topic, and then let's move down towards the SGOs and what y'all do through the Accountability Act.
Yeah, I think that a lot of your listeners would agree with the idea of what you said earlier, is that everybody should have the opportunity to experience school choice, and that could be a lot of things. I mean, it goes from being able to homeschool your children. It goes from being able to go to a private school or to move into a different district if you prefer a different school system. And unfortunately, a lot of people in our state don't have that ability. And we look at a lot of our surrounding states that really push school choice and really give a big menu of options, which can include education savings accounts, charter schools, or things like the Alabama Accountability Act.
Yeah, and the Accountability Act, I mean, brother, I mean, you probably remember, but I was there the night we passed that. It was actually one of my favorite nights in the entire 8 years I spent down in Montgomery, because the teachers union was having a complete meltdown, because it was the first time that a massive piece of education legislation went through without their prior approval. And it was good doings, but it was not without controversy. And all that to say, it went into place, and I think it's been making a difference in some kids' lives. Tell me what you've seen, your own self, and then let's talk about scholarships for kids in general.
Yeah, so my background, I'm a reformed attorney, and then got into nonprofit work, and the Lord led me to a school called Restoration Academy in Fairfield, right outside of Birmingham. And so I was there for 7 years and got to see firsthand how it impacts the lives of our children. And kids that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford a private education were able to come in. And the School of Restoration Academy grew tremendously thanks to the Accountability Act. When I was there, they were serving about 160 kids, and today they have about 380 kids. And so that growth and those lives touched by that education and that school choice that parents get to have is due solely to that great night that y'all had in Montgomery with the Accountability Act being passed. And so I could talk for a long time about the lives of some of our kids, but, you know, one that I tend to talk about is a guy named Jonathan, and he came in. And, again, I'm not anti-school choice. I mean, I'm not anti-public schools. I go to public school. I was a graduate of public schools. My kids attend them as well. But for Jonathan, they didn't fit. and he was getting bullied. He had a lot of issues with the school, and I can still remember his mom coming and crying during the admissions process saying, you know, we got to go somewhere else. And thanks to the Accountability Act, he was able to come to Restoration as a ninth grader, and then you could just really see him blossom and bloom as an individual. And he was, you know, grades kept getting better and better, and then he finally graduates, and the Lord helped provide a full tuition scholarship for him to go to Stanford University.
Wow.
And now he's there, but he's also coming back, and he's investing in the current ninth graders as a small group leader. And so it's incredible to see the way his journey has come, and also to recognize that this act, this piece of legislation, really did impact his life and hopefully changed the trajectory of it for the better.
Yeah, that's just a blessing. You know, I can't tell you the amount of heat that some of us took from the teachers union for daring to vote for that bill, and to hear those kind of stories makes every bit of it worthwhile. That being said, Stephen, so the Accountability Act, kind of a weird name. The Accountability Act as a name does not really describe what the bill does. And so, in short, what the bill does, folks, is literally donations being given towards these scholarships are fully tax deductible. The state allows, am I right, Stephen? It's $30 million as a cap right now, right? I think
it
is.
Yeah, so yeah. It's not tax deductible. It's a tax credit.
Tax credit, thank
better.
You.
And so it's every dollar that you give to us, and you can send us half of the taxes that you owe to Montgomery, but every dollar you send to us, we get to invest that into the life of a child, and you get that dollar back when you file.
Yeah, it's a dollar for dollar, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's really incredible. And I've never talked to someone who didn't say, oh, this is a no-brainer. I got to do it. But there's more people out there that we need to do it because we have a lot more funding to raise so we can support more kids and provide more scholarships.
Well, absolutely. And so these scholarship granting organizations, of which you are the executive director for one, which is Scholarships for Kids, SFK, we call it. You guys, literally, how does the process work? Let me go back to one point, though. The state put a cap, $30 million is the most that we can give out in a year, and we don't always hit that cap. We'd love to hit the cap every year, but we don't always. But if you have $30 million and 1 cent, whoever got in there last and had the 1 cent over the cap is not going to get their tax credit. However, there's $30 million worth of credits available from the state for people who are willing to donate. That being said, how do people get the benefit of your scholarships, and are the scholarships full ride tuitions? How does it work?
Yeah, so for the children to qualify, their household income has to be below a certain income level. So as an example, a single parent or single child, their income would need to be below about $32,000, and a family of four, their income would need to be below $48,000.
Okay.
And so those are limits set. They're actually based on free and reduced lunch numbers that are issued by the USDA every year. But then, you know, a parent is able to apply to one of our partner schools. We work with about 60 schools across the state. And we are able to cover up to $6,000 for an elementary, $8,000 for a middle, and $10,000 for a high school student.
Wow.
And so it's awesome. I mean, there's no better feeling in the world than to be able to talk to schools and talk to families and say, hey, this is how many scholarships we're going to provide for you this year. You know, this year we are serving about 1,700 kids across the state of Alabama.
Wow.
And so it's really awesome to have, to know that what we're doing is impacting so many lives. And I just feel grateful to be a part of it.
Wow. So SFK alone is doing 1,700 scholarships to kids around the state right now, you're saying?
Correct.
That is huge, man. I mean, when you consider the 67 counties, that's saying that you're getting a percentage of the state in a sense. But that being said, are you geographically confined to any portion of the state, or are you all over the place?
We're all over the place, and honestly, we'd love to be at more schools. I think you know, a lot of schools, private schools, aren't aware of our program, or they're hesitant in how we operate. Nothing about us, but they just kind of unusual, you know, to have an organization say, hey, we're going to come and we're going to support a low-income student at your school. But that's one of the things that we're working on this spring, is to be able to tell more people across the state and in more locations, hey, we exist and we'd love to support kids in your community.
Well, and I think it bears noting too that this wasn't just conjured up in 2013 by a group of Alabama legislators and now being worked on by you and a few others. This is something that is in other places around the nation. So SGOs, scholarship granting organizations like yours, are aware. How many states do you see this response taking place?
Yeah, so we were the 10th state to pass this legislation when y'all did it in 2013. And a similar program to us exists in a little more than half the states across the country. Now, there's other school choice options at other states, and just about every state has some type of school choice. But for our tax credit voucher program, essentially, there's slightly over half the states do it. And then you've also seen two of our close states, Florida and Georgia, have similar programs. And this is where I hope that we would follow this path, is that they start off with a small amount of money and they've exploded. When Governor Bush kind of signed this legislation in, originally it was a $25 million pot of money. And now they do about $600 million in scholarships every year. And Georgia has seen similar growth. They start off at $25 million and they've gone to $100 million, and we start off at 25 when you passed it, and then when we amended it in 2015, we took it to 30, and we've stalled out there.
Well, we stalled out, and I think part of that is there's gotten to be some measure of laziness or apathy with regards to school choice among our current legislators. I'll say it, you don't have to, but I know we had a bill just this past session by Representative Charlotte Meadows that would have increased the cap, if I'm not mistaken, and that bill didn't go anywhere. Am I correct?
Yeah, so it wouldn't have touched the cap, but it would have allowed individuals to give more. So instead of just being able to give 50% of your tax liability, you could have given 75%, and it would have allowed us to have a longer time period to spend money. And it's not that we are taking that money and investing it and making bukoodles of money off of it. We could only keep it in money market accounts, but it would give us kind of smoothing out our peaks and valleys for fundraising. We had Representative Meadows and then Representative Collins, who is a big advocate. But frankly, I think that's where we kind of look around and think we need more champions of school choice in the legislature. And so that's one of the things, too, that we're looking to do is once we get back into session and not anticipating any new legislation on the issue, but just to be able to tell our story to our legislators to say, hey, here's what this program is. It's a $30 million kind of off the top thing that's set aside. Public choice is not affected by it. You know, the Education Trust Fund is, I think, $7.6 billion this year. Yeah. And they have a pretty significant, I think, a $700 million surplus. And so we are a rounding error. We are a very small program. Altogether, our SGOs support about 3,000 kids of the 750,000 K-12 kids in Alabama.
Wow. Well, and listen, Stephen, we're up against a break, man. I'm going to have to go. I let it run a little long because I wanted to finish that piece up with you. But I certainly appreciate the work that you do with Scholarships for Kids. If they want to find you, I know they can go to, scholarshipsforkids.org? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And then 1819 News has a nice ad for us on the side of the website, too. So if you don't remember the name, you can find us there. So thanks so much, Phil. This has been great.
All right, Stephen. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for what you do.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, ran a little long, but it was worth it. We'll be right back after this.